So the Lord put this message on my heart about the river of God, because it's the Holy Spirit. It's God's Holy Spirit is calling people to come closer in intimacy to Him. Can you say amen to that? You are not a body with a spirit in it. You are a spirit covered with a body. The real you is not flesh and blood. Because when they put your flesh and blood in the ground, how many know the real you has a destination? You will live forever. I said, you will live forever. Some people think you die, you're in the grave, and that's it. Bad mistake. You'll wake up from that grave to answer to one, our God, who will give you options, one or two, door number one, door number two, no other doors. You want me to get a little bit more graphic? Heaven or hell. Does anybody here want me to preach heaven happy and hell hot? Does anybody want me to get after it this morning? You can't play with God. You play this whole time while you're on earth, and you will give an account to God. That's the way it is. And so whatever you're doing today is preparing you for tomorrow. And it's not a shallow invitation. God is calling you to the deep. God is calling you to a deeper relationship with Him. Intimacy. Intimacy. He's not impressed by our outward man. He's impressed with our heart. And that's why you can have flaws and you can have personality issues and you can have hang-ups and this and that, but He's looking at your heart. Because God looks at the heart. Man looks on the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart. How many glad God judges you for the real you? A lot of people judge you for, and they don't even know you. I said, they judge you and don't even know you. And I bet if I spent a little bit more time at McDonald's, I bet you I could find that that young lady had some serious deep issues. Possibly abuse. Deep, deep-seated hurt that caused her brain to tell her that this is a better life, an alternative lifestyle. Be better than what I have, because she's been forsaken by a man somewhere. I bet you. Not willing to bet because I'm not a betting man. How much money do you have? So it's not a shallow kind of thing. It's deep. It's a deeper experience of God in the spirit realm, beyond your casual mechanical devotion or religion. So the challenge this morning is to move to a deeper place in the river. Get out of the shallow intimacy that lacks transformation. Get in the deeper water. I've seen the church in the 21st century. They might have gotten in and made a decision for Christ, and maybe they're at ankle deep. We'll get into it. Maybe they're at ankle deep. Maybe they did get in. Maybe by faith they came to Christ. But how many know they never kept walking? They're playing on the shore in the shallow water, Pastor. They're just playing around in shallow water. God never intends you to stay in the shallow water. You can't experience the fullness of God until you keep on moving. There is a river that flows from the throne of God. That's the source. It's not mechanical. It's not from man. It's not the temple. It's not the building. It's God. He's the source. He's the Holy Spirit. It's a river. It's a river like no other river. How can a river flow? There's no tributaries. There's no other canals or bayous. There's nothing. There's a single source. It comes from God. How many know everything you have that's good comes from above? James said, every good and perfect gift that you have comes from the Father above, from the Lord of lights to the Lord of love. He gives us every good thing, every good and perfect thing. So that's the source. And if you get into the water, the flow of the river of God, and you go deeper, deeper in worship. Hey, if your worship is lacking, turn up the heat. What's it going to take? How do you settle and be satisfied with casual worship? Pastor, it's all I know. And here's one. Well, if you would sing the song I like, I might worship. I mean, no, the song we choose is not the point. That's preferential worship. That means you only worship if somebody plays your song. But principal worship is, I don't care if you play Mary Had a Little Lamb, whose fleece is white as snow, and everywhere that Mary went, the lamb was sure to go. How many know Jesus is the Lamb of God? I just took your nursery rhyme and made it sanctified. I don't care if you sing off the wall, sing a hymn, or sing a modern-day chorus. I didn't come here to pick my song. I came here to worship my Savior. And if I get into the river, how many know it'll affect my worship? It goes deeper, deeper in worship, deeper in prayer. Hey, is the only prayer you're praying every week is the prayer at lunch? Lord, bless these chips and salsa. Is that it? Is that all God going to get from you for the whole week? Really? Well, listen, what you're experiencing from the Lord is it has a direct result of what you're imparting for the Lord, that you're putting in. You make deposits and you make withdrawals. If you make no deposits, then you don't have anything to withdraw. It's just like the bank. Go to the bank tomorrow and say, I need $1 million, and see if they give it to you. You might have $1 million in there, and if you do, I'll see you in my office after service. We'd like to talk a little bit. Deeper in prayer, deeper in the Word, deeper in your purpose. It's a call to get into the Holy Spirit's anointing. And the first thing I want you to get, if you're taking notes, because I don't have anything up there because I've been working over there, and you can take your own notes. I said, I gave you the scripture. The least you can do is grab a pen and paper and write your own notes. Somebody shout amen. I'll get back to giving you spoon feeding you later, but right now you got to waddle up to the table and eat your own food. So number one, it's a call to be intentional. Getting in the river of God is an intentional move. It requires intentionality. You're not going to accidentally get in. You're not going to accidentally move closer to God. How many know James said, if you draw near to God, God will draw near to you. But there's this faith walk. It's a faith walk. So you make one attempt to get to God. How many know God's going to meet you there? And if you're just coming into Christ, praise God. God loves new believers. But he don't want to leave you there. He loves you right now too. And even in your sin, Christ died for you while you were yet a sinner. But he loved you too much to leave you in your sin, so he brought you into the river, and that's to the ankle deep. Are you with me? Is anybody with me? It's the beginning of the relationship. It's the beginning of the relationship. You have to put more effort. Have you ever seen a deep sea diver prepare before going into? I got a little claustrophobia, I have to admit. I don't think I'm putting on one of those things and put a big tank on my back and trust you in the boat to make the lifeline work. I'm not going down that deep in the water. So I understand trust issues. But listen to what deep sea divers do. They don't just say, okay, is that it? Is that it? That's the tank? Okay, you want me to put the mask on? That's it? Oh, piece of cake. I mean, no, they do a lot of preparation before they get in that unit. How many has been deep sea diving? One, two. Mom, you've been deep sea. Oh. Sister Heisterman has been deep sea diving. That sister's done everything in the world. How many else has been? Two people? Three? Four? Okay. Okay. Five people. No wonder Oak Grove has no idea what I'm talking about. You guys need to get out much, a little bit more. But it's a lot of preparation to experience this, okay? It doesn't just happen. And before you go into the deep ocean, you better check everything. They check it all out. And God's not trying to hide from you. Come on. Remember last week, Israel was trying to hide from God, making Moses go in closer. You go in deeper, Moses. You talk to God face to face. We're gonna back up over here. And there's a lot of God's people who won't go into the river, won't get into the anointing of God and the Holy Spirit because there's problems somewhere. There's a disconnect, complacency or indifference or fear, or for some reason, they just won't make a move toward God. And you can preach, you can sweat, you can take a handkerchief, you can be the best preacher in the world, not going to make them. How many know it's the Holy Spirit that is going to get you? And if you don't have a hunger for thirst for righteousness, you're not going to be filled. Basically, that's it. So the call is to get into intimacy. It's intentional and prepare your heart. God's not hiding from you. No, he's inviting you, drawing us in, calling us into intense fellowship where he can do a couple of things. So under number one, intentionality, here's a couple of subpoints. First thing he's calling you to do is he wants to reveal some spiritual things to you. I mean, God is in the business of revealing things. And I don't know about you, but I need him to help me on a daily basis. I need the anointing of the Holy Spirit. On a daily basis, I really need the discerning gift of the Holy Spirit, to discern what is good and what is bad. I deal with a lot of things and a lot of people, Pastor, you know, and you know, this world will look right at you, lie straight into your eyes. And I got to know from the Spirit, not from my intellect, but from my spirit, that this be of God. I can't lean on the arm of the flesh. I can't just wing it. And so many days I'm over my head, but how many know everything that's over my head is still under his feet? And so I have to know it's got to be intentional, because he wants to reveal spiritual things to us. Secondly, he wants to lift heavy burdens from us. Not only does he want to reveal spiritual things to you, which is inspiration. Man, God has so much to say. If you can go deeper, he will engage with you. He will talk to you. He will reveal things to you. He will speak to you, some dreams, maybe some visions, maybe some future purpose, maybe some things to warn you about, maybe some things to tell you about. He's God that wants to reveal things. So you got to move into him. I said, you got to move into him. And then when you're broken and things are broken, or things going awry, or things are not working right, how many know it's a good thing to go into God? Get in the river. And in the river, he'll bring healing. We'll talk about that maybe today if we can. If not, we'll go next week. But I'm not in a hurry. But he wants to lift burdens for you, secondly. And thirdly, he wants to strengthen and renew you in the river. All of that happens in the river. All of this happens in the Holy Spirit. That's why John 7, Jesus is there the last day of the feast. He's got the golden pitcher of water, and he's reminding them of the water came from the rock. Jesus is the rock. How many know Jesus is the river? And he's pouring the water of life on the altar. Don't miss this. It flowed from the temple, from God, to the altar. And that water was going to help as they made sacrifices on the altar. It was going to help with the stench of the smell of the flesh and the blood. And all of that water was going to help with that. But most importantly, you're not going to get to God unless you go to the altar through Jesus Christ. I mean, you have to go. That is the way. You can't get to Pentecost and the anointing without going through Calvary. How many glad a sacrifice was made on this communion service day? How many glad a sacrifice was made so that we can have access to God? It's through the cross of Jesus Christ. I came to preach about the cross of Jesus Christ. Does anybody believe in Jesus? How about his work? Because if you don't believe in Calvary, you're never going to get to Pentecost. If you want to write it down, Calvary always leads to Pentecost. Always. There's not another course. The source is from the temple of God, from God himself. That's the source. And the course is through Jesus Christ. It goes down to the altar. And it trickles. I know it's a trickle, but there's not a bunch of tributaries. How many know there's only one trickle, one flow? God doesn't need any of our resources. He doesn't need any other thing. How many know it's a river has only one flow? And that's through Jesus Christ, our Lord. That's the gospel, whether you understand what I'm telling you or not. How many is getting this? Okay, so you got to get down through the altar, and God's going to strengthen you and renew you. It's a call to intimacy. And before God can use us mightily, he desires to know us deeply, personally. It's a personal relationship with Jesus at the altar. I don't know how long we'll be in existence. Next year, we're serving Elk Grove. We'll be here 80 years in existence. Aren't you glad for that? Glad Tidings planted us 1946. Next year in May, we celebrate 80 years. I hope to be here. How many of you hope to be here? I hope you're here too. What would a church be without its people? But as long as we are here and I'm at the helm, we're going to have these altars. Because the altar is a place where people die, bring sacrifice. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. And without Calvary, there's no outpouring of Pentecost. And listen to me, when you get to Pentecost, it always takes you back to Calvary. Pentecost always takes you back to Passover. Passover always leads you to Pentecost. You understand? That's the course of the flow of the river. Are you here? Are you following me? He desires to know you intimately. And our faith, the intimacy is the foundation of our faith. If you don't have a relationship with Jesus, you don't have a clue what I'm talking about. And the Bible is just another book. It's irrelevant. And church is just church. It's just mechanical. It's just instructional. Maybe you can learn something today, but I'm not here to give you intellectual wisdom of man. I'm here to tell you, you need the Holy Ghost. It's the Holy Spirit of God that brings inspiration, not intellect. Intellect will be good. Information's good. But what you really need is inspiration. God wants to breathe on you. God wants to know you. He wants to know you deeply. He wants to help you. He wants to carry you. He wants to walk with you. Let me give you some scripture before you give up on me. Psalm 25, 14, God reveals his secrets to those who draw near to him. When you spend time with God in the river of God, he will reveal some stuff to you. He wants to. It's not like God is saying, oh, hey, fend for yourself. I hope you make it. Hey, Mickey, I'm glad you came to Jesus. I hope you make it, sister. That's not Jesus. He wants to reveal stuff to her. He wants to help her live a life of multiplied, fruitful, blessed life. It's not mechanical. It's fruitful. And so enter the secret place. Remember that Psalm 91? He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide in the shadow of the Almighty. Say of the Lord, he is my rock, my refuge, my fortress, my God. In him will I trust. That's the secret place. If you haven't found that place in him, that last week we talked about, Moses was in the cleft of the rock. Remember that? There is a place in God that you can get that will get rid of all distractions and help you go deeper. Enter that place so you can hear his voice. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. It's like Mary and Martha. Martha got so preoccupied and busy doing ministry to get ready to serve Jesus. Mary sat at his feet. And Martha was a little perturbed, to say the least, because she needed help with the dishes and didn't do the... There's a lot of things that need to get done. Trust me, as a pastor leader, I know there's a lot that needs to be done. But if you don't equal out your time with Jesus, with your work for Jesus, I want you to understand, I don't want to just work for Jesus. I want to work with Jesus. There's a big difference. He wants you to be with him. He wants to go on the journey with you. If you do it in the arm of the flesh, if you do it without the Spirit, if you do it without the Lord, you'll rust out, burn out, freak out. But if you do it with the Lord and the Holy Spirit, how many know he will help you? He will reveal things to you. He will bless you. You can hear him. He can talk to you. And it'll break out of the shallow water and keep on moving in. Like Mary, Jesus said, Mary chose the good thing. Mary surrendered to the Savior. Did you know you can get involved in church and forget the reason we're here? And so surrender to the river. Ezekiel 1 and 2 is talking about that. It's a river he saw flowing from the throne of God. It represents the Holy Spirit anointing. That was the source. Come on, church. Everything we have traces back to God. I'll just spend a little bit of time this morning reminiscent. Didn't mean to take that much time to tell you, but I am so happy I found Jesus. And the truth of the matter is, my friends, he found me. Can you imagine? That's like taking credit for salvation. I found Jesus. No, you didn't find Jesus. Jesus found you. How many glad Jesus found you? All I did was surrender when I finally found the truth and heard the truth and met the truth and had no idea about theology. Never dreamed I'd be a preacher. Never dreamed I'd have patient people like you who sit under our ministry and keep coming back week after week. But you do. For that, we're grateful. But Ezekiel saw something, and it flowed, and the course is revealed here in the altar and the place of the temple. And you have to surrender to that sacrifice. It was the sacrifice of the cross that opened the way of the Holy Spirit to come. Amen? Jesus said it this way in John 16:7. He said, I have to go away. In fact, he said, it's absolutely important, expedient, that I go away. Because if I don't, the Holy Spirit Comforter cannot come. He said, actually, will not come. Do you understand? It's the sacrifice he made on the cross that opened the new and the living way for us to have a relationship with God. And if he didn't get back to the throne room, and if he didn't present his own blood on the mercy seat, and God didn't take the penalty for sin, and are y'all hearing me? If he didn't make a way, we wouldn't have access to the Holy Spirit today. And if you didn't have access to the Holy Spirit today, you would be lost as everyone else. But we have the Lord. How many glad we have the Lord? And we have the Holy Spirit, and he has us and the church. is moving in the spirit and the anointing because God's flowing in the river. Oh, I'm not going to be able to finish this message today, and you don't even want me to. Wow. It's a fulfillment of the Holy Spirit that God is pouring out. He said, I made it. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is a proof that Jesus made it to heaven after the resurrection. How do we know? Because he said, I go to my Father. And when I get to the Father, I'll send the Son. The Holy Spirit sent the Holy Spirit. The Son sent the Holy Spirit. You understanding me? Tagged off if you play. Tag, you're it. So the Holy Spirit comes. And Jesus stands at the right hand of the Lord God, our Father, making intercession for us. And the Holy Spirit moves in and 50 days after his resurrection, pours out his Spirit upon us. And now we walk in that anointing that Joel chapter 2 talked about, that in the last days, I will pour my Spirit out on all flesh. And your sons and daughters will prophesy. Young men and old men will see dreams and see visions. And upon my handmaidens. And how many know there's no respecter of persons? Male, female, old, young. I mean, oh, God's Holy Spirit is poured out on all of us if you want to get in the river. In other words, this is something you need to know about the river. It had no feeder streams, no tributaries. There was no need for anything to flow into this river to give help to God. You don't need to help God. God doesn't need our help. How many would be honest with Pastor this morning and say, I've tried to help God out? Come on, let me see your hand. I don't want to be the only one. I've tried to help God out. There's some things that seem like God was doing that I didn't think was the right thing to do. Seemed like to me, that's the way to go, Lord. But ask Jonah how that turns out. I mean, Jonah found out the way to go. And that was way down deep in the belly of a well. So the language of those who go deeper is this in the river. Not my will, but your will. You want to go deeper in God? You want to walk in the anointing of the Holy Spirit today? You want to go from ankle deep to knee deep to waist deep to over your head? We'll cover that next week. You're going to have to surrender. I said you're going to have to surrender to the Lord and to the river. Fully surrendering allows God to work freely. Fully surrendering to the Holy Spirit's authority. Paul said it like this, and Chrissy, you can come back, and I'll have to finish this next week. But Paul said it like this, it's no longer I that lives, but Christ who lives in me. So now the life I'm walking and living is not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Are you seeing that? Paul said, I'm a dead man. I die, he lives. Flowing in the river in the anointing means that you don't have a say. Your say is his final say. I mean, you said, not my will, but thine. Even Jesus came to the cross and said, hey, Lord, is there any way this cup can pass from me? This cup here we just talked about? Can you take this away? Is there another way? And he said, no, there's no other way. And he already knew the answer. Nevertheless, he said, not my will, but thine. I love this verse in Psalm 46, verse 4. There is a river that flows from the throne of God, whose streams make glad the city of God. There is a river. Let the river flow in your life. Before we go into the levels next week, I just want you to know, whatever level you're on, we're going to have to cover the levels and the dimensions. Last week, we talked about the dimensions of the Holy Spirit. Remember that? As some were far off, and some came and had communion with the Lord. And then it was, if some of you said, I didn't get the last point last week. Some of you left church said, I didn't get any point at all. But the last point was Moses went all the way up the mountain 40 days and 40 nights. He was in the cloud. He was in the glory cloud. You understand that? There is a place in God that Pastor wants you to go. I want you to go there. But it takes intentionality. It takes surrender. It takes complete surrender. If you feel like you've got it all figured out, or let me just say it like this. If you feel like there's a line of demarcation that you've drawn and you're ankle deep in water and that's satisfactory to you, then you're missing a whole lot of anointing. Keep on walking and it goes deeper, it goes to the knees. It goes to the waist, and then it goes over your head. And maybe the reason we don't want to get in over our head is because we like to be in control. And God's wanting to help you to put your confidence and trust in Him. I believe He's got an anointing for some of us in this room. Maybe it's just coming into Christ. Maybe you're just brand new. That's okay. It's okay. It's a good place to start. But how many know there is deeper things of God? And I challenge you this morning. Come back, not next week because we have a guest speaker, but you come back the 1st of October. Bring a guest with you, please, because the 1st of October is Bring a Friend Sunday. Say, Pastor, you're going to talk about the baptism of the Holy Spirit or the Holy Spirit if I bring a guest? You bet your bottom dollar I am. I remember when I first got saved, I was so scared to bring one of my friends to church, you know, that Pentecostal church. I just was certain that the day I bring a guest, Sister McGillicuddy was going to cut the rug. Bobby pins were going to fly from her hair, and she was going to dance all over the altar. I just knew it. But I did it anyway. I brought a guest, and we just about threw this worship service, and I thought, okay, I got through, and nothing crazy happened. And all of a sudden, Sister McGillicuddy, you know, I'm not going to give her name to protect the innocent. The Holy Spirit hit her. And that's back in the day when the Holy Spirit hit a woman. It was not a pretty sight. Mascara all over their face, hair blown everywhere, dancing, his shoes kicked off, and everybody's having a great time in the river. So you can be critical about the Holy Spirit because you don't understand pneumatology or eschatology or any other ology. Or you can surrender to the Holy Spirit in your life and experience things that you never, ever would have imagined.